All right. Welcome to the Rewire podcast. I'm joined today by my friend, and I guess I'll say colleague as well, Kendra Fox. How are you doing, Kendra?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. So thank you for taking the time to be here today. Kendra and I have known each other, I guess, like not quite a year yet, but we kind of have a lot of similarities, I think, not only just even from the past, but even transitioning from the corporate world more into the space of helping others. Kendra is a founder of a company called Higher Energy, and it is all about helping high performers manage stress, create coherence, and through the breathwork practices. And so maybe we could just start there. You can share a little bit more about, you know, how do you help people in that capacity? Like, what is your approach, specifically, I guess, to start with managing stress?
Yeah. So thanks, Brian, for the intro. Hello, everyone. I am the founder of a company called Higher Energy. And as mentioned, the main goal that we have at the company is to really infuse education and training for specifically for high performers that are looking to really understand as a starting point, like what is stress, right? I think a lot of people, especially in the corporate world, don't always understand what's happening on a physiological level when their body's in a state of activation, which is what stress really is. And so what we do at Higher Energy is bring in a lot of science and education to help people understand what's going on and breaking it down really simply. So we have a variety of like training programs and workshops where a lot of our workshops start with education and awareness. And so I believe that through education and through bringing awareness to the topics of stress and energy and performance and helping people understand the relationship between all three, it really enables them to understand their own why. Why should they take action? Why should they change their behaviors? Why should they implement practices like breathwork that can then help them to decrease the stress in their lives, or at least change their relationship to stress? One of the things that I always say is stress isn't going anywhere. If anything, stress is only going to continue to increase in our lives, because the complexity and the challenges that we face are kind of what's needed in order to help us evolve and grow. However, it's our response to stress, right? It's our relationship. It's how we perceive stress and how we can overcome it that really matters.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. So typically, you know, people are stressed. I think the statistics are pretty crazy. Yeah. 75% of people, I think, feel overwhelmed at least once a week. Mm-hmm. That creates a large amount of absenteeism. It obviously affects performance and, you know, the general vibe within a company. You know, so if you're talking to somebody, let's just say an individual, not even a company, but somebody is stressed, what's the first thing that you would, you know, recommend? Or is there like a group of things that you would say, this is the baseline where we start in terms of helping you find a little bit more peace and as you said, learn how to respond a little more skillfully to stressors that are always there?
Yeah. So I have a couple of different things that I do with people. I work with people one-on-one through a 6-week coaching program where I help them identify the stressors in their life and then help them create a program or a practice that allows them to meet their stressors and acknowledge them and bring awareness to them, process them, and then also train themselves how to come into a state of coherence, that state of relaxation. And so the first phase of that training program is typically just a free flow conversation in each session that really helps them identify the areas in their life that really bring them down or deplete their energy in terms of their emotional responses. So if they're finding themselves in relationships or in experiences or situations at work that bring up a lot of, let's say, fear, for example, then we identify those as a starting point. And once we've identified those areas of opportunity, which I believe everything is an opportunity to expand, we can then identify, well, what is the relationship to that situation or person or experience in their life, and helping them reshift that and reprogram that to a place of maybe not living and staying in fear, but coming back into a state of coherence with their breath, which is what we teach them at Higher Energy, so that they can overcome that stressor, or at least bring more capacity in their nervous system so that they can feel more, I would say, stable and empowered to meet that and to overcome it.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. And so, yeah, so that's a great point, to kind of move into coherence. Now, I've been talking a lot, to companies and people about that recently, and it's incredible when that state of coherence is created, where people are in a more safe zone. There's a lot more order, and it seems to, in a group, create something really magical. What would be, for anyone who hasn't heard the term coherence before, has never experienced that, what would be your definition of coherence?
Yeah, so I always like to go with the scientific definition of coherence with anyone that I speak to, because I feel like when we look at the physiology of our system, it makes a lot of sense, right? So if we were to take a look into our body, into our organs, into our systems, just like a car, everything needs to be working optimally in order for the car to advance and move forward, right? We need to have gas in our tank. All of the engine and the lights and everything needs to be working in harmony together, right? So when we look at our own bodies, right, a lot of us think from just the mind, right? We sort of perceive life through the lens of the mind. But there's this whole other part of us, there's the body, that continues to function. And for a lot of us, it's automatic, right? These functions are happening unconsciously. And so what coherence really represents scientifically is everything is in order, everything is working in harmony with each other. And so when we look at our bodies and our minds and our systems and our organs, a lot of us don't realize that when we're in a high stress situation or we're in activation, what happens in our body is there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect between our mind, our body, our digestive system shuts down. You know, everything's not working at that optimal level, and things start to kind of shut down. And if we're spending a lot of time in this state of activation, this is where we get into chronic stress and anxiety. This is where people tend to, you know, get into immobilization. They get into shutdown. They get into burnout, right? And so coherence is really the optimal state that we want to get into often, right? And consciously, in order to bring ourselves back into that state of relaxation, that state of repair and rest, so that we're not spending so much time in activation where we can then bring ourselves into burnout.
Yeah. And as you said earlier as well, I mean, having the awareness to know that we're incoherent, that we're in that activated state, is a challenge for some people in and of itself. They're just so used to living that way and feeling that way. And for some people, become addicted to feeling that way. Sure. So it's breaking that pattern is a big deal. But I think for anyone, you know, who heard that and says, well, that's something I would love to know more about, the great news is that it is a skill. Like, it is something that we can learn to self-regulate with and create within our own bodies. So I know there's a lot of different techniques and deeper sessions and ways of creating coherence. What would you recommend for somebody who just heard that and said, man, I'd like to just try that? Is there like a short practice or something that people can do to create that coherent state intentionally?
Yeah. So there's a specific breathing resonance that creates coherence in the body. And in the heart and the mind. And so when it's practiced over a 6 to 8 to 10 week period, people will experience significant improvements in their mood, their health, just their overall energy, sleep, all of these different things. It's been proven that this specific breathing technique, you know, bringing resonance into your body, will help you achieve these results, get you into that coherent state. And so the breathing technique is really simple. It's breathing in for about 4 to 5 seconds. If that feels too activating for you at first, let's say you're a shallow breather and you feel like you don't have a lot of capacity, you know, you can breathe in for maybe 3 seconds. And then you want to lengthen your exhale to about 2 to 3 seconds longer than the inhale. So if you can breathe in for 4 seconds, try to breathe out for about 6 seconds. And what this does is it starts to retrain your body and your mind and your heart to come into that harmony with each other. And so people will often experience a shift quite quickly. So they'll be doing this breathing for about, you know, 5 to 7 to 8, you know, maybe to 10 minutes and start to experience a state of calm. That state of calm, yet that coherence, that homeostasis, which is what the body wants to be in for optimal function, is actually what I believe is your natural state, is your higher energy. And we can consciously come into that often, you know, and have a practice, whether it's in the morning when we wake up or before we go to bed or even during the day, we can start to entrain our nervous system, our baseline, to start to meet that new state that we're creating consciously. They say that 95% of our time, our function is automatic, right? It's subconscious, right? So 5% is conscious. So when you understand that your beliefs, your thoughts, your behaviors, your habits, your feelings, your sensations are all connected to your subconscious, in order to really affect those behaviors and emotions and sensations, you have to take conscious effort to doing that. And the only way that we can do that is with breath. It is one of those functions that's automatic, but is one of the only functions that we can actually take a conscious action over and start to actually affect and have control over. And so that becomes very, very powerful, right? We become powerful when we're able to take that conscious action over our breath, over our thoughts, over our behaviors. And this is where we can start to change our personal reality, our personality, right? We can actually start to improve ourselves on every single level, but it does take practice. So what I recommend is starting with the breath practice, you know, 10 minutes a day, getting up to at least 20, 30, 40 minutes a day is what I do myself. But of course, take your time and learn to figure out like what works for you, right? Because there's nothing worse than putting yourself in a position or putting yourself into a practice that your body isn't ready for. If you've lived in a state of activation for years, if you've lived in chronic stress for years, the thought of being still, right, and breathing may be really activating for you, right? It might be traumatic to do that. So you have to find ways where maybe you're walking and you're breathing. You know, maybe you're just taking 2 minutes before a meeting. Maybe it's just that 5 minutes in the morning when you're waking up, and then starting to build a practice from that.
Yeah, I love that. Such an important point that you make as well about how much patternized we are. I've been in some of the groups I'm a part of, we call almost like an algorithm. And even more than 95% of the things that we do are just happening completely unconsciously. And, you know, that over 20,000 breaths a day, many people don't even take one conscious breath. And it is one of the only autonomic functions, as you said, that we can actually manipulate consciously. And so, yeah, I love that. You can just start by taking a few breaths and really just start to get used to taking those breaths and being conscious about them, staying present while you're doing it. And as you said, over time with practice, you really start to notice very quickly that state that puts you into, and then you can just build on that from there. So that's super powerful, Kendra. And, you know, speaking of powerful, like you, I had the honor of doing a breathwork session with you a while back. You're a trauma-informed breathwork coach, amongst other things. And I think that was the type of practice that you'd put me through, which was incredible. Like I've done a lot of different breath work over the years. You know, some of the deeper practices like a holotropic breath work practice or other deep practices that really get deep into the subconscious, really bring up things to the surface to help heal and release energy that's trapped, has almost seemed, you know, very aggressive at times for me, and I'm okay with that, but not everyone is. But yours was just as deep, but not as aggressive. So maybe you could just describe a little bit more about that deeper practice that you teach and practice yourself.
Yeah, I feel like because I have experienced a lot of trauma in my own life, and we don't have to get into my personal story, but my personal history and my setup, so to speak, is really the soil for what I now believe is how I became who I really was and who I'm meant to be. And so our trauma, you know, our upbringing, our programming, all the things that we've experienced and endured through, they get collected in terms of imprints in our nervous system and in our body. And our body has this beautiful mechanism of taking every single experience, whether it was traumatic or not, and placing it and storing it in the body and trying to protect us and keep us safe. And so that in itself is really a beautiful, intelligent system. But for many of us, when it comes to breath work, right, when it comes to these transformative, deep experiences where we get into activation, where we start to get into the subconscious, that can be incredibly confronting, right? So based on my own experience with trauma and my own relationship to my breath, I remember going to an event a couple years ago and being in a very extreme and aggressive, and I would say very masculine approach to breath work. And that almost brought me into re-traumatization, which is something that we have to be very aware of in the breathwork community, because everyone that we're dealing with has a different story, has a different imprint, right? Everyone's dealing with different things at different times. And so my approach to breathwork and why I was trained as a trauma-informed instructor brings in this lens of really, you know, being aware of trauma and being aware of how powerful breath work is as an activation, right, to start to clear out some of this stuff, but to also approach it with titration. And what titration is as a breath work instructor is taking one drop at a time, you know, in terms, if you had a bucket and you had a drop for every single experience that you ever had, and you were to take it really, really slow. So our experience, you know, together was bringing this approach, this feminine approach, into the breathwork container and inviting you to really breathe slow and be soft, you know, and allow whatever emotions and sensations are coming up. But if things feel too activating, you know, giving you that permission slip to slow down. Now, my breathwork founder of the training that I had with Pause, she always says the intensity of the breath does not equal the transformation, right? So if we're at a breathwork experience or an event or a workshop and someone's telling us to breathe really, really deep and really, really fast, and that feels too activating for us, you know, it's important for us to give ourselves the permission, ourselves the safety to slow down and to listen to our own bodies, right? To listen to our intuition. And so my approach is very much on building momentum very, very slowly by, you know, really tuning into where are they right now, right, in their journey in terms of their relationship to trauma, and then building that program with them, eventually getting into 60, you know, 90 minute breathwork containers where it does feel really deep and transformative and there's a lot of depth, but we're getting there really slowly and consciously.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I think that's such an important point. There seems to be somebody teaching breath work now everywhere. It's become very mainstream. So that's probably a cautionary thing as well for people to be aware of, that, you know, having somebody who is trauma informed or really has experience to create the right set and setting and be there to guide you through that, because one way or the other, we all have some form of trauma, even if we're completely unaware of it. Things can come up in these sessions. And I've personally seen, dealing or leading my own breathwork sessions where sometimes, you know, I'll take an example, like just having a real man's manly man kind of dude in there and who is just completely crumbled into tears, unexpectedly shocked and horrified of what came up that maybe there was even no memory of. And you have to be in a position to guide them. And, you know, this would be very similar to plant medicine for healing as well. You need to be with somebody who really understands it can hold space safely for you, create that container, and be there to guide you through that. But your approach, again, Kendra, was just that. It was a gentle approach, and we did build into something stronger. But I think your intuition of where I was at in that moment mm-hmm. really helped guide that and make that a really amazing experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So breathwork is obviously a big part of your life and mine as well. And what I love about breathwork is we haven't really talked about meditation per se, but breathwork is such a great way to open the door to kind of segue into a deeper meditation. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people who sitting with their thoughts is something that's very uncomfortable without mm-hmm. kind of creating a little bit more of a safety system in the body. What does your own daily practice do? So do you have a routine to optimize your energy, to evolve your consciousness, all the things that whatever your goals are, but what does your daily routine look like?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Before I get into that, I want to break down maybe the difference between what meditation is and what breathwork is, so people have a good understanding Perfect. Of how to, leverage both, because I think they're both very important and critical to our management of stress and energy and performance. So in my opinion, meditation is a practice of getting into stillness, right? It's really slowing down, becoming aware of the thoughts, and getting so still within our own bodies that we enter into that state, hopefully, that we all want to get into, which is that meditative state, that sort of awareness where we kind of lose touch with who we are, and we become just aware, and there's no like thought, there's no emotion, there's just this awareness. And so that space is very powerful, right? We know that, you and I both know and have experienced that state that we all want to get into when we go into meditation, that can be very challenging to achieve, right? And we might only get there for a minute and then the thoughts come back in, So that state is very powerful for getting us out of who we think we are, right? Getting us into the quantum, right? Helping us get deep rest and replenishing our energy is very, very powerful in my opinion. And I love meditation. I think it's a vehicle for immense transformation. On the other hand, when we look at breathwork, it's a little bit different, right? It's an activation practice, right? We're, we might be inviting movement into the practice. There's this conscious, activated breath that really gets us out of our heads and into our bodies, and we start to feel a lot of sensations. Many people, if not everyone, when they start to do breath work, they immediately feel tingling, they feel their temperature change, they feel numbness in their hands, they start to feel all these different sensations. And so what breath work is really powerful for, in my opinion, is for creating a foundation to helping scrub the subconscious and, unleash all of that stuck energy that really limits our ability to get into stillness. A lot of people, when they're super activated, I always give the example is if you live in a state where you have created an experience with your own brain, that there is a lion chasing you, right? And if someone said to you, hey, come over here and sit still and meditate and get into stillness, you'd probably turn around and tell them, you're crazy. I'm going to run this way and get away from this lion so I can survive and save my life. Well, most people are operating on that frequency, right? Most people are operating like the lion is chasing them, whether it's their boss, their wife, their mother-in-law, the person that's in front of them in traffic, all the things, right? So when a lot of people approach meditation from that state of activation, they fail. A lot of times people fail. They have a really negative relationship with meditation. And we see it all the time in our work. We walk into a room, we even say the word meditation, people get freaked out. they start to shut down. They're like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. So we see a lot of that today. And of course we have the other side. We have people that are using mindfulness and meditation in corporate, as high performers, and they're experiencing amazing benefits as well. But for the majority of people today, they have had a failed experience with meditation. And so breathwork can be a really powerful practice to cut through that get you into a space where you can, you know, get rid of all that energy and you can feel more, I would say, relaxed in your body because you've done some activated breath. You've got your nervous system into a state where it's in that parasympathetic response. And then what I've experienced with my clients is then they can then get into a meditation. And it's so much easier to access at that point. So like for me, my personal practices really are an ebb and flow within that. So there's moments where I feel really activated. I feel like there's a deeper layer of my own trauma that's surfacing that I need to look at and I need to acknowledge and process. And for me, that's not meditation, that's breath work. Right. So if I feel like there's something big happening in my system, you know, and I'm aware of it. I'm feeling these emotions, you know, I'm feeling this activation. I'm going to go into a somatic, you know, activated breath experience where I'm going to start to use my breath as this tool, as this conduit to go in and like access and flush out this energy and heal it and feel it. Then, you know, on a daily basis, when I'm not in that maybe activated state and I just want to maintain that coherence, that flow, that sort of connection to myself, I will then have a meditation practice every day that can range from 10 to 15 to 20 minutes. It's not, you know, it doesn't feel like I'm going to the gym. So, you know, it's more relaxing, it's more calm, but I tend to just kind of bounce in between those.
Yeah, I think that's very helpful for some people. There's a lot of confusion, I think, between the two. You know, breath work is essentially, you know, a form of conscious breathing. Meditation is more of observing the breath, or as you said, just being aware of awareness itself. And in that state, a lot of magic can happen. So I think that's very powerful. So for you on a day-to-day basis, you know, what you just described to me is, you know, you're kind of probably very intuitive in terms of what you sort of need or what will serve you in that day and based on how you're feeling. Do you protect time at a specific part of the day to do these practices, or is it just whenever that feeling comes for you?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think it really differs if you're a male versus a female. So if you're a male, you are connected to the sun, right? The sun rises and sets every single day. So you live more in a structured environment. So having a routine, having a set time to do certain things is really good for how you operate as a masculine in your energy. So for men, I recommend having a practice as soon as they wake up because the energy is really high, you know, and then having that practice before they go to bed. So for example, if you want to have a breathwork practice in the morning because your energy is very high and you want to feel a little bit more grounded so you can, you know, approach your day from that place of being coherent and calm and confident, I recommend a breathwork practice in the morning. Whereas when your energy is the lowest in the evening, it's good to then get into that more meditative, you know, coherence breath. Right? To just regulate your heart rhythm patterns, you know, bring yourself into awareness, into gratitude, and just be able to set you up for an amazing sleep. So I think for men, that can be more of a routine. For women, we are so different, right? Let's just call it like it is. Women and men are very different, and how we flow and how we work with our own bodies and our own energy is very unique. And women cycle with the moon. So we are always changing constantly. Our moods are always changing. Our emotions are always changing. And so we kind of live in an environment, especially in the corporate world, where we a lot of times try to force women into that structure, right? A lot of women are trying to force themselves into a box of having a very structured schedule. And I know that because I spent 10 years working in corporate, trying to force myself into having a specific structured routine, go to the gym 4 days a week, you know, do my meditation every morning, do, you know, and this and that. And through my experience this year of leaving the corporate world and starting my own company and starting to really allow my feminine energy to emerge is learning how to follow the flow. Right. So of course, every morning when I wake up, I tend to always like to breathe. That is just my intuition. That is just my go-to because I'm in bed already. I'm already there. So for me, it's convenient to just spend an extra 20 minutes in bed, breathing and bringing myself into coherence. However, that can shuffle, right? So it's important to find your flow. I tend to always fit it in sometime in the morning and sometimes in the evening. But I have clients, for example, like I have a female client, she's the director of operations for a company. She finds that her practice is in the morning and then at 2 p.m. because that's the time that she gets the most stressed in her day and feels like she needs to really, you know, recharge her energy. Whereas like my other client who's a male feels like he has to do it in the morning as soon as he wakes up and as soon as he goes to bed. So everyone's different, right? Everyone has to find that unique flow.
Yeah, no, everyone is different. And I really appreciate your perspective as well on the masculine and feminine differences as well when it comes to scheduling. And that's a very good point. I work with a lot of women, probably more women than men, for whatever reason. And yeah, and what I find though is that sometimes, you know, we do have to figure out what works for the individual, but it's definitely important to, you know, whether it's like not necessarily a regimented or disciplined mm-hmm. type thing, but to ensure that time is protected.
Exactly. Because
you know what happens if you're not intentional, a day goes exactly. by, a day goes by, and without that consistency, you don't really necessarily feel that momentum, which, you know, propels you to keep practicing.
Yeah. That's a great point. Like with all of my clients who do my coaching program, I tell them it's no excuses, right? Like you have to create time every single day. It doesn't matter when it is necessarily, but you have to be aware and conscious in creating this time and make sure that you are, you know, making that time and you're coming into this practice because, you know, just getting into something called HRV, you know, heart rate variability, which is really the biometric that represents coherence in our body. And so a lot of people are measuring HRV now with a lot of the wearable technologies. And so HRV is very, it fluctuates a lot depending on our stress levels. And so if we're not practicing coherence and breath work every single day, we can do nothing to improve our baseline. So we can, you know, in reality stay the same if we don't take that conscious practice and effort every single day to change our routine, to behave differently, to think differently, to breathe differently, right? So it is really important, but yes, you have to find your flow, right? Like what works for you in that container of knowing that it's really important to carve out that time.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kendra, for enlightening us with all that great information today. How can people find you, learn more about you?
Yeah, so you can check me out on Instagram, Higher Energy Co. Follow me on my personal account, which is Kendra M. Fox. Feel free to visit my website, book a call with me, or connect with me on LinkedIn. So yeah, all of the different channels. And I do host monthly free workshops every single month for anyone who wants to try breathwork. And then I also offer the opportunity for people to book a breathwork session with me to learn more about breathwork.
Amazing. Thank you. And and I just want to acknowledge you as well for, you know, just knowing you in a short period of time. It's been really inspiring to watch you evolve and get deeper into this work. And I know you're creating some powerful meditation tracks as well, and things that people can practice on their own, which is, creating that experience is so powerful in helping people actually make this a habit and part of their life going forward.
Yeah, for sure. You know, healing and transformation and growth doesn't have to be hard, right? And so I think, you know, in my own experience and my own trauma, in my own life, things have been very hard and there's been a lot of bullshit. And what I like to bring into all of my sessions and in my company and how I'm, you know, representing myself as a founder is bringing more fun, bringing more higher energy into it, right? So, you know, what you can expect from us is, yes, we're going to touch on things like trauma and healing, but we're also going to get into what's beyond that, right? How can we bring more fun, you know, more energy into these practices and then bring these practices to as many people as we can, because I think we all deserve to live in coherence and access that unlimited potential that I know we all have. We all have the capability to get to.
Yeah. You know, what a great way to end this as well, because people don't talk about in these conversations too much about fun, you know, but it really is like, what's the energy you want to show up with every day? Why are we doing these practices?
Yeah.
You know, being very intentional. How should your day feel? And have some fun at the same time.
Yeah. And laugh, right? A lot of our experiences and what we've gone through in its essence is not funny, but we can bring humor. We can bring a lightness, you know, into our reality so that we can start to create spaciousness in our system, right? When we breathe, you know, we create that spaciousness because we start to let go of what's been holding us back. And, you know, so much about my mission at Higher Energy is to get people to go beyond the trauma, right? Like, who are you beyond this story? Like, who do you want to be? Like, what do you want to call forward in your life? What is your dream reality? What is your dream vision? And can we get you there? Right. So I think that's what I'm really excited about creating in the next, you know, 6 to 12 months in my company as well.
Amazing. Those are great questions. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time, Kendra.
Thank you, Brian.